I'm not a good interview, brother. I'm sorry to tell you that, because I'm looking for something, and what I'm looking for is looking for me. And I don't know how to do missionary positioning for interview. What I know is that there's something calling me, and I'm just, I've signed up.
We're looking for vignettes along the journey.
So, you got the guy, you want some vignettes, but you're not ready for them. Because one time I spent a month out there in Colorado, one day trying to get out of there because you had a snowstorm. The airports, they wouldn't let me go. And man, sitting around in an airport, man, that was like some serious penitenti stuff. You know, I was not ready to be messed up like that. I did get out of Colorado. It's beautiful out there. You got all that sunshine and contrast and fresh air for the most part, you know. And I loved it up there in Boulder and up the Continental Divide up in there. My aunt moved out there. My mother's sister married a policeman, actually, from Denver. Did you know about Shalene? She lived out there. She went to school with Cleo. There's a girl named Cleo. That's a dance company.
Yeah.
Bill, they all know each other. They all went to this high school. You know, they know each other. There's a singer from your town, Denver. What's her name? Diane Reeves, right?
Yes.
See? It's all connected. You know, there's one song, there's one people. We started out in Africa, first man, and then you spread out. And then people get confused, and then they move stuff around. And, you know, did you ever hear my song, All Life is One? Once there was a man and he lived alone. And his heart did say, long came a woman, she heard his song, joined him on his way. They travel to a world where there is no time. And then John Cipollina and Dave Mason played some stuff in there.
You've always struck me as an artist who was not constrained, who was fearless. How do you escape the bonds of expectations and conformity to do something beautiful?
Well, that's my expectation, that I'll do something beautiful. I mean, I live for that. But, you know, Monk wrote a song, Ugly Beauty. You know, beauty is in the ear of the beholder. You must be fearless, because if you're not, you are going to be lobotomy certifiable, you know, and I'm not signing up for that. I keep making that point, and I shouldn't have to do it anymore. Freedom is our birthright. And this is a music of freedom and wonder. And all the great creators that came before me, they had something limited in individuality and merge it with the universal. Because when you hook up to nowness with deep creativity, the creator will come and bless you. You know, I never got good enough to quit, but I remember that I would always play, and I'd be getting really close to the essence of what this stuff is. And then it's like the creator had a carrot on a stick, and he would say, not yet, Charles, not yet. So in other words, I guess you have to pay your dues and stay out here and keep humility in the forefront, and gratitude and deep love and respect for this beautiful, rich tradition that we come from. It's the music of freedom and wonder. And if it's not appreciated or taught in our schools or shared with our indigenous sisters and brothers, that hurts my heart. So all I can do is be in service, because as Master Higgins always said, he was always asking the creator for it. You know, we're beggars. We're asking the Lord for it, because at a certain point, you go up there on that high wire, and you just gotta sink or swim. You know, but flight is what we're about. And so I'm just happy. The only thing I can say in defense of whatever this is I'm presenting is that I'm still I never grew into a fossil. You know, I'm happy that exploration, although you don't come back the same, I get to explore each time I play. And it's not about me, which is a beautiful thing. People will come, and then, you know, we meet in some place. And I was somewhere in Romania, one of those Iron Curtain countries back there in the 60s with Keith Jarrett and Jack DeJohnette and Cecil McBee. And we were playing, and afterwards this woman said, "Oh my God, you played all of our folk songs." Well, I didn't know they're folk songs, you know, but what happened was that we connected up, and in that deep place of connection, that song, whatever it is, it's about a oneness. And I kept that with me in my treasure chest in my heart. Duke Ellington came through. Duke Ellington would stay at our house. My mother had a large house, you know. A lady from the theater said, you know, there's not adequate hotels for these musicians. Can you put them up? I loved it because I had questions. I had to wake up in the morning and ask these questions, you know. And Duke and Basie and Lionel Hampton, all of them, they answered a lot of my questions, you know. Duke did say, "Don't do this." My mother said, "He wants to be a musician." Duke said, "No, he must be a doctor, lawyer, or Indian chief, because this life is too hard." But by then I was bit by the cobra, so there was no turning back. What could I do? I have a hero who became a mentor, Phineas Newborn, pianist in my hometown. And I'd go over to his house. I was a little boy. I'd ride my bike over there, 9 or 10 years old. And I'd sit outside and shake. He'd be playing all this J.S. Bach, you know, nonstop, and Chopin and stuff. Beethoven, and he was so mystical and so wonderful that I don't know how to tell you. So he planted a seed, and that seed, one thing it's drawn a lot of beautiful pianists to me, you know. So if you look at my history, all these wonderful pianists have played with me, and I think it's that seed that Phineas planted, you know, that I know how to hear that piano, you know, and to offer something with it. And then there was also those guys in Memphis, those old blues guys like Howlin' Wolf and B.B. King and Bobby Blue Bland and Roscoe Gordon, Junior Parker. There was a lot of stuff going on in another channel. And then we had these serious beboppers, you know, when I was a little boy. So we were going at it. And the messed up thing of the environment, it didn't stop us from where we were going. We knew that the thing was messed up, but we also the situation of where we were playing it and how the game was run. But the interesting thing was that we also had a innate notion that we were bringing something, and we knew that no matter where people were on the planet, they weren't dealing more than we were.
One of the quotes I ran across is about the inspiration you get from the people you play with. And I wonder if on this Trios project, you've picked just the right two other players to take the music where an interesting place where you want it to go.
Well, I'm an explorer, you know. And when you explore, you don't come back the same. So you need other explorers who are willing to take that journey with you. And so all my life I've gone up on the rooftop and I call my people, you know, and they don't come for a long time. Then after a while they come, you know, as we all are. We're singular, and yet you bring something on the pathway that is not, doesn't fit with the sheep thing, you know, the following the herd thing. We just some kind of guys have no alternative but to sing our song, you know, and it's a beautiful, it's a blessing, and it's a loneliness, and you have to persevere, you know, and have a lot of beginner's mind stuff that is not impeded by the reckless disregard for your well-being, you know, that you encounter out here a lot. And so you just keep going forward, and you make mistakes and you fall down and stuff, but you get up and go forward. And then when the Creator sees that you're serious and you have no alternative, then they say, okay, all right, it's like that. I think music is such a grace and such a wonder in the right hands, you know, and that it lifts up the planet. It lifts up, it's about enlightenment. You know, we need to wake up, you know, this is a small planet. You know, there are many solar systems, and look at the ignorance, the preponderance of that continues. You know, man needs to wake up, man, and be kind to each other and learn to, you know, make a contribution to the planet, not destroy it and stuff. You know, it's really simple, but people have some kind of motives and motivations that don't have to do with the harmony of the whole thing. And so what I've been doing all my life is I try to play music to change the world. Now, I'm naive, I'm still doing it. But the naivete is a beautiful thing in the sense that I have beginner's mind and I have experience. So you combine that, you can get out of the way sometimes with a Mack truck and stuff like that. You know, young man, they could run me over because I was medicated and stuff like that. I'm not medicated now. You know, if I'm an ecstatic, so I want to get up on the roof. You have to build stairs to get up on the roof. You can't just jump up there, because if you're medicated, you know, you fall down and then it hurts, and then you got to try to get back up there. So you have to build the stairs inside. You know, when you do that, you can go through borders or anything. You can't bother that. Water doesn't wet it. Wind doesn't blow it. Fire doesn't burn it. You know, it's eternal.
Can we talk just a little bit about Ocean and your collaboration with Gerald Clayton and Anthony Wilson? It is apparently an intergenerational tour.
You tell the seekers, the sincere ones, the ones who care about what this is we're talking about, to come out and we'll have a communion. Basically, when you talk about Gerald Clayton and Anthony Wilson, I played in Anthony's father's band in L.A. when I first got out. Don Cherry took me to a rehearsal at Gerald Wilson's orchestra, you know. Eric Dolphy was there. Ornette would come over, you know. Harold Land, all the great musicians in L.A. Were there. I was an alto player then. I was going to college. Those were my mentors. And then they have progeny, you know. And then there's Anthony, his son, who's a young genius. You know, same thing with Gerald's father, you know, the great composer, great arranger, you know, bass player. And then in both of those guys' cases, they used to come around my gigs all the time in Europe, and they wanted to play with me, but we're all going to be there. I suggest you let the people know we're coming, because, you know, it's not often that we come, unfortunately.
Your collaborator here in Denver is the Museum of Contemporary Art. You have, through your cover art and even the project that began down there in the Southwest at an arts installation, the radio single from Ocean, Jaramillo Blues, yeah, celebrating two great artists. Yeah. I love the connection between music and visual art.
Danny Johnson is his name. He's a great sculptor. He left town 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5. I don't know the phases of the moon and time anymore. I know about nowness. But his wife was Virginia Jaramillo, and she's a great painter, and she's still in New York carrying on. And so I dedicated that blues to them. I hope you can use some of this and what you can't do. But the important thing from my side is that I would like for you to let the seekers know that we'll be there and something will go down.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hari Om Tat Sat.